congregation may be seated. We're called together this morning with God's call. There's times in life where we get together to worship God where in our humanity we would have chosen a different way. But we look to God as our Father who does the right thing. And as we follow Him, He will heal us and give us comfort. My mind was drawn to Revelation 21 verse 4. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And so while we mourn this morning for a young man, prime of life, who had a lot to offer, he leaves a huge hole in his family. We also know that while we're here, mourning and shedding tears with a hole in our hearts, that Brent's at a place where he can relate to verse 4. There'll be no more crying, pain, or death. Brother Claire is going to lead us in songs, and then we'll follow the program.
First song, "Nearer, Still Nearer." This song was sung here on Sunday morning after the sermon, and so Brent sang this within an hour of his death. "Nearer, Still Nearer."
Shelter me, say, in Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages. This was a favorite of Brent's when he was young.
May grace, mercy, and peace rest and abide upon each one here this morning. We've gathered in a very unique way, a way that will never happen again this side of eternity. Brother Joe already mentioned that God is called disappointment. And I'm so thankful that we can know the only true and wise God. Bringing greetings to each one here in the precious name of Jesus, the one who gives us hope and assurance in times like these. If it were not for Jesus, for the sacrifice that he made on the cross, we would have no assurance this morning. We would have no hope. I'm so thankful that Jesus was willing to do this for us. And I'm so thankful this morning that Brent, in his youth, gave his heart to the Lord. And in knowing Brent, I believe that he was very sincere in his walk with God. Thankful that we can have that testimony this morning. I think in a time like this, it's good to reflect on God and how that God is sovereign. There is no higher power. The powers that be in this earth, they are ordained of God. God is supreme. He is altogether holy and righteous. And God cannot make a mistake. He just cannot. We as humans, yes, we can make mistakes. But God cannot. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, there's a number of phrases here I want to pick out this morning. Where, speaking about God, he said, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me," in verse 5. Verse 6, "I am the Lord, and there is none else." Verse 12, "I have made the earth and created man upon it." Verse 18 says, "I am the Lord, and there is none else." Verse 22, "For I am God, and there is none else." I'm so thankful that we can know the only true and wise God, that our faith can be in the promises of God, in the work of Jesus Christ. God has made us free moral agents, and while God has promised, made so many promises in His Word, we need to reach out by faith and take hold of these promises and follow God. God is altogether holy. He desires that His children are holy. As we are in a time of sorrow and a time where maybe we would ask, why did God allow this? Yet when we come back to the fact that we know God, then we have assurance. We have confidence that God makes no mistakes. Yes, the grief is real. The sorrow is real. And we sorrow. And I believe it's God's will that we do grieve, that we sorrow. But I'm thankful this morning that we need not sorrow as those that have no hope. To Daryl and Karen and the family, let this promise comfort your hearts. That while Brent cannot come back to you, to us as a church family, yet if we're faithful to the Lord, we can go to Him where He is. Even in the loss of our dear brother, we know that God made no mistake and that he has provided something so much better for His children than what we have here on this earth. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So while we cannot put the pieces of the puzzle together in our minds as to why God allowed this to happen, yet we can know that God, in His wisdom, He allowed it for a purpose. And I do not understand why within the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks, I didn't count up the exact amount of time, that this is the third funeral in our two here and one in Dublin, Georgia, sister church there. But you know, I believe that maybe one reason for it is God is giving us a wake-up call. God is telling us that, you know, of these three deaths, the oldest is 20 years old. The time is short. And God is giving us a wake-up call. How is our standing with the Lord? Again, I'm so thankful that we have the confidence that Brent was ready to go. How is my heart before God? How is yours this morning? Isaiah 43. Some real words of comfort that have blessed my heart many times over. Verse 2 says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." Dropping down to verse 4, he says, "Thou art precious in my sight." It says, "Thou wast precious in my sight." But just putting it for us here today, God is saying, "You're precious in my sight." Brent was precious in his sight. He didn't allow Brent to have that accident because he hated Brent. Not at all. I appreciate what Brother Sim said to the family this morning, that he believes that God wanted Brent in heaven. When Brent was, his life was taken, God was there and opened the door and said, "Welcome." Where God's children are precious in his sight. In verse 5, it says here, "Fear not, for I am with thee." God's presence is here this morning. God is with us. A little over 30 years ago, we as a family lost a son who was 5.5 years old. We know the grief that you're facing. There was a verse in John 11, verse 25, that became very precious to me. Our son, his name was Jonas. He died in a farm accident. The last verse that he learned in his Sunday school class is John 11, last part of verse 25. Here Jesus was speaking with Martha, Lazarus' sister. And Jesus told her, said, "Thy brother shall rise again." And she said, "Yeah, I know that in the last day he will rise." Then verse 25, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And that last part was our Jonas's last Sunday school verse that he learned. "Though he were dead, yet shall he live." You know, that verse maybe has two meanings. A spiritual meaning, where that even now in this life, while we're dead spiritually, yet God can give us life. But Jesus was talking about his friend Lazarus that was dead. Jesus said that he, yet shall he live. And so I have the confidence this morning to believe that though Jonas and Brent both died physically, that they will be raised when the Lord returns for his own. And we will all be gathered together in glory to meet the Lord and there be with him eternally. So, the family, may your hearts be comforted this morning that not all is lost, While this is a bitter, sweet experience, bitter in the fact that our loved one is gone, yet it's sweet to know that because of the work of Jesus and Brent accepting that work in his heart and following the Lord, that we can know that we again will be reunited someday if we follow the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Eternal loving Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that while coming together in this way would not be our choosing, yet we know, Father, that you make no mistakes. So, Lord, help us as your children to reach out to you in faith. Help us, Father, to trust you, claim the promises of your word. Father, we thank you for Jesus, who's made it possible for us to be your children and meet you in peace when we leave this world. Lord, bless Brother Daryl, Sister Karen, their family, the extended family. Lord, just be very near to them today and through the coming days. We know, Father, that the ache in the heart will continue. And we thank you for your comfort, for your grace. May you comfort them daily, Father. Minister to their needs. Continue to bless us as a congregation as we mourn the loss of a dear brother. Bless each one who is here today, Father. Help us all to worship you as we go through this service. Bless Brother David as he ministers your word to us. Lord, we just pray that your name would be exalted and glorified even today. This we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Read the obituary. Brent Laverne Mast, age 20, of Amelia, passed away June 4, 2017. He is survived by his parents, Daryl and Karen Mast of Amelia, three brothers, Darren Mast and his wife Katie, South Boston, Roger Mast, his wife Jessica, Greg Mast, all of Amelia, paternal grandparents Wayne and Orpha Mast, two nieces, Carrie, Whitney, one nephew, Brandon, and many loving and extended family members. Family also would like to express appreciation. As a family, we would like to express our heartfelt appreciation to all our relatives and friends from far and near as you have shown your love and care to us. Thank you especially for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us, the Mass family.
When peace like a river. Brent and Greg were listening to this song several times lately while driving. And to me, this song takes on special meaning when I think of the story behind it. This song was written by Horatio Spafford in a time of deep grief. Horatio and his wife Anna had a son and four daughters. The son died of pneumonia. The Spaffords lost their business in the Great Chicago Fire. They rebuilt it later. And then they were intending to sail together to Europe, but Horatio was detained by some unexpected business problem. His wife and their four daughters went on ahead on the ship to cross the ocean, to cross the Atlantic to Europe. And on the way, the ship sank, and all four daughters were lost at sea. Anna was rescued, taken on another ship, and when she reached Wales, she sent a telegram saying, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" One of the passengers said that they heard Anna say, "God has given me four daughters and taken them away. Someday I will understand why." Horatio booked the next available ship to cross the ocean, and when they were 4 days out, the captain told him that they were now at the spot where his daughters had passed away. And it was on that voyage that he wrote this song, "When Peace Like a River."
Oh, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul, it is well. Satan should buffet, the trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul. It is well.
The clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
also bring you greetings in the precious name of Jesus this morning. I'm so glad we can come and greet you in that name this morning. The one who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, Jesus knows what we are suffering this morning, what our pain. I'm so thankful we can greet you in that name and welcome you here. There's a couple verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says grace. Verse 2 says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. To you as a family this morning, Brother Darrell and Sister Karen, He is the God of all comfort. He is the Father of mercies. And we extend this verse to you this morning that you would claim it. Appreciated the thoughts that were shared already on the sovereignty of God and how He's here to comfort us though we don't understand. Also to the young people here this morning, especially the local Piedmont youth, you have lost a good friend. I'm sure you feel the pain. And life looks very scary. I know in a time like this, our emotions are mixed up. But I want you also to think about these verses, that God is the God of all comfort. He wants you to draw near and find that comfort together with His people. All of us feel the loss this morning as Brent has been called home. I was encouraged to see how he filled his place in the church, and that place will be missed. He was on for teaching Sunday school class. He put his heart into it, and it was a blessing to watch. Well, we want to look into the Word of God and find comfort this morning and encouragement and direction and worship Him in that way. I have three things that I would like for us to consider this morning: life, mercy, and comfort. I want to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. As we think about life, God has some things for us here to learn, I think. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, I'll read through 12:1. It says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity, or they're transitory. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. He's giving us here some direction on how we should view our life. He's saying here that living for the here and the now, with no thought of God, will bring the judgment of God upon us. And we see that many times, maybe in youth, and I'm glad we don't have that example in Brent. He was a young person that seeked the will of God. But there is many that have no thought of God. And he's telling us here that that's bringing God's judgment upon us if we live with no thought of the hereafter. On the other side of that is youth that understand their accountability to God and seek God's will. And they will enjoy the blessings that God has for them much more than those that follow the ways of the flesh. I think he's telling us here that youth is a time of rejoicing. It is a time when we have zeal. But God has set boundaries in the Word, and we can, if we live with an understanding of our accountability to God and the blessings that He will give us if we follow His will, then we will truly enjoy the time of our youth. In verse 10, he says, therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. I think he wants us to live clean and pure lives. And he says again, for childhood and youth are vanity. This time of life, when we will not stay in our youth. Man goes to all means to stay young, but we still grow old. And we are so soon gone. And life is so fleeting, even in our youth. It can happen so suddenly, as we know and understand in part, at least this morning. In verse 1 of chapter 12, he says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Again, a reminder to keep God first in our lives. It is so important that we, as we grow up, that we understand who God is and we seek for Him. There's so much difference between someone that is running for the pleasures of this world and those that are seeking the will of God. And that's whether we are young or old this morning. I'm sure this morning if we live the days of our youth to the glory of God, then we won't have the regrets and sorrows that come with those that fulfill the lust of the flesh. We can be at peace with God. Think about the time as the choices we make in this life. And as we grow older and we have time to reflect upon life, do we want to reflect back on a life of worthless pursuits of pleasure, or do we want to reflect on a life that has been given in service to God? Solomon was a man. He wrote these verses here, and he was a man that he had tried it all. He had went after the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and he gets to the end of his life, and he says it's all vanity. And I think it's such a shame that it took him that long to figure it out. And if we are wanting to learn wisdom this morning, we will listen to his words and understand that we need to have right choices and accountability in our youth, and then we don't have to face the sorrows that he did. He comes to the end of his writings here in verse 13 and 14 of chapter 12, and he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Let's come to that conclusion in our youth. I challenge each one of us and myself this morning that we understand that God wants our hearts. He wants us to hear the conclusion of the whole matter, to fear him. That's God is seeking a relationship with us as we live our lives here. And that is where we find the peace that comes. And I'm glad we can know that Brent had given his life to Jesus. And he had sought the will of God. And he had learned what was important. He had learned the conclusion in his youth. And I'm glad that he did. Some more verses on the brevity of life. Job 16:22 says, "When a few years are come, then shall I go the way whence I shall not return." It says a few years. Psalm 39:4-5 says, "O Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity." Selah. It is so short, the time that we have here on this earth. We think about eternity past and the little bit of space that time fills, and then we have eternity beyond, and it's so short, and our lives are even short in comparison to time. James chapter 4, last part of verse 14 says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And he says there that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. We know that our life is so frail and it is vanished so quickly, as we have witnessed again and been reminded of again. 1 Peter 1 verse 24 says, "For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever." The word of the Lord endureth forever. And that's where we take our fleeting breath, our fleeting lives, and get a hold of the word of God. And it brings us to where we want to be in eternity. Life is full of changes. Life shows us how fleeting it is. I understand Brother Darrell's family had plans for Sunday evening. I'm sure all of us had plans for Sunday. And they were special plans because Brent, I'm sure they will hold them as special now because Brent had suggested them that they get together as a family at a park. And that was something good to do. But God had other plans. And we are reminded again of how short our time on earth is, and how God has his hand sovereignly over our lives. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." So teach us to number our days. And we can't do it with math. We do it with wisdom. There is no equation that will come up with the correct amount of days, but we can do it with wisdom. We can number our days with wisdom. And God says that it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. And I believe as we understand our nature, it is better for us to think about the life that we live and where we be going than it is to enjoy the pleasures of this world. Okay, the next part, I want to look at the mercy of God. We certainly want to hold forth the mercy of God this morning. Maybe sometimes it seems like we wonder where his mercy is, but God is a God of mercy. And it says in Micah chapter 7, verse 18, that he delights in mercy. God delights in mercy. Lamentations 2, 22 and 23 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." God is a God of mercy, and he's extending that mercy to us again this morning. We have opportunity to serve him. And if we have made mistakes, we have opportunity to make corrections. And he delights in that. Psalm 103, verse 17 says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." You know, the mercy of God is extended to us here in this life. And as we accept that, that mercy continues on. It continues on through eternity. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 again. Second Corinthians chapter 1, it says in verse 3 again, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." I like how it says there, the Father of mercies. He doesn't rejoice in tragedy. He's not the Father of tragedy. He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. We know we live in a world where sin has its effects, and God, then he extends mercy to us. We know that mankind was lost without the mercy of God. He was lost. And it's hard to talk about the mercy of God without bringing in the love of God. Maybe they work together. But without the forgiveness that we experience in Christ Jesus, we are lost. And God, in his mercy, made a way that we can come to him. I want to read a few verses in Ephesians chapter 2 that shows how God extends his mercy to us when we were so low. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, "Wherefore remember, you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." Well, God extends his mercy, and we have verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." We see, again, God rejoicing in mercy and bringing us back when we were so lost that we were without hope, without God. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can come back to him. It says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." And later on, he talks about the temple that we are, "in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." That's the mercy of God this morning. Also want to read some verses in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 says that "whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." As we think about the mercy and love of God this morning, What does it do to our hearts? I'm sure at a time like this, when our hearts are tender, we need to think about the love and mercy of God and make sure that we are ready to meet our Maker. We talked about earlier about the choices that we should make, and God's mercy is extended if we are willing to accept it. I hope that thinking about the mercy and love of God, it inspires us to total commitment and obedience to God and His Word. Even the hard things that come in life are an extension of God's mercy. One verse says, "For the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." I know the chastening of the Lord does not seem pleasant, but if it leads us to repentance, it's His mercy, and that's what He desires to us this morning. Okay, the last part is the God of all comfort. Again, going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians 1 and verse 4 talks about the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Seems like this comfort that God gives us as we experience the hard things in life, it flows then out of our life and it helps to comfort others. I've been blessed to see that happening in the this time of loss, and also a number of weeks ago when Jordan passed away. It seems like there is a special bond, a special comfort that comes from those that have suffered the same thing. I want to comfort you this morning all I can, but I have not experienced what you experienced. But those that do understand in a special way, and it is a blessing to watch. Life is not always easy. We know we live in a sin-cursed world, and there will be hard things, but God is the God of all comfort. Romans 8 verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. Let's not ever forget that. If we are faithful to Him here, He will certainly make it worth it. I'm reminded of a song. I want to read a song to you this morning. Heaven will surely be worth it all. It says, "Often I'm hindered on my way, burdened so heavy I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Many the trials, tolls, and tears, many a heartache may here appall. But the dear Lord so truly says, heaven will surely be worth it all. Toiling and pain I will endure, till I shall hear the death angel call. Jesus has promised, and I'm sure, heaven will surely be worth it all." The chorus is, "Heaven will surely be worth it all, worth all the sorrow that here befall. After this life, with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all." So the suffering of this present time, the sorrow that we go through, heaven is worth it. Let's keep that in mind. God has made a way. He's made a provision by the blood of Jesus that we can come to Him, and heaven will be worth it. John chapter 14. John chapter 14 verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." And they had some questions there. But Jesus said unto them in verse 6, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There aren't more than one way to go to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. There is only one way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's unless we accept His blood and make it a part of our life and live in obedience to Him that we can make it. But it's worth it. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." God is taking care of the things of eternity. And if God is making, if Jesus went to make mansions for us, they will be worth all the sorrow that we could ever imagine here on earth. Also want to read some verses out of Revelation about heaven. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22 says, "And I saw no temple therein." He was explaining a lot about the holy city before this and all the foundations that were there. He says, "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of nations into it, of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servant the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Here we have a description, and the many things that come to us, our experience will be in heaven. There is no need of the sun and the moon, because the glory of God lights it. And we love to see the glory of the sun. And when the sun comes up and when it's setting, those beautiful sunsets and sunrises, but it's more glorious there in heaven. There's no sunrise here or sunset that can compare with the glory of the light of heaven. Notice that he says that these sayings are faithful and true. God is telling us that these will come to pass for those that accept the plan of salvation and experience the forgiveness of sins. Well, for God's people, there is hope beyond the grave. There is hope beyond today. Yes, our hearts are broken and bleeding, but we need to look beyond and rest in the promises of God. I'd like to look yet in closing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The family told me that Brent loved to study about prophecy, and I'm not going into prophecy this morning, but these verses fit very well with his experiences. If you think about what's going to happen when the bodies are come forth from the grave, and I like what it talks about here. It talks about those that are asleep in Jesus. I love to think about Brent being asleep in Jesus and what it says that will happen here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through the end of the chapter. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Does that bring you comfort this morning as we think about when God will come back to receive his children unto himself? And those that are asleep in Jesus will he bring with him, and their bodies will be reunited. What a time that will be. And we want to be there and experience that along with Brent. May the blessing of God rest upon you.
Thank you, Brother David, for these words of comfort and hope. I had to think of numbering our days by wisdom. You know, we have a young brother that did that. And for us here, let's do that and keep on following God. We will conclude the service at the graveside. I'll turn the service over to the ushers.